Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And Courtney, welcome.
So glad to be here, Jerry.
It's fall break week.
Yes. And
it's a little different as you're trying to practice during fall break than midterms and then during a regular school week. But why don't you sort of walk us through a little bit the differences?
Yeah, well, first is midterms. So if having been here for a handful of years now, I have great respect for the rigor that that week presents to our student athletes. So we give them, we limit practices. They're shorter, there's less days of them, but yet luckily it's followed immediately by fall break. So I share a lot of them with the university on midterms, and I get them during fall break. So today was our first practice during fall break, and you know, it's nice to have their undivided attention and focus.
So when it is fall break, you're not limited by the university's rules about when you can practice, so.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. So we practice at either 10 or at 1, depending on what time the men, they're flip-flopping with the men. And then also they lift. They lift right after practice. So the way the academic calendar works at Princeton is because you only have that 4:30 to 7:30 window, you can't also fit in lifting. So a lot of times you're doing your lifting in the morning. And so now you've made their time more efficient during fall break. And then they're doing things like preparing for their summer travel. And I know a lot of our young guys were in New York City yesterday and meeting up with some old alums. So just lots of different kind of fun things.
So I think that in a lot of the Division I world, maybe even Division III world, teams practice like weird times. What would be weird times to Princeton, which is 11 to 1 and, or something like that. And I know that my son who plays lacrosse at Sacred Heart, they practice around then, or they practice like from 10 to 12 or whatever. And
amazing.
The university, you know, their class schedules have to be adjusted around their athletic schedules as opposed to the other way around. But I think that, you know, it's part of the Princeton and the Ivy League model, but I've always thought it's pretty efficient that, you know, the university recognizes that there's such a high percentage of athletes here that they do block off that time where there can't be any academic conflicts.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's it allows the hyphen to truly be a connector and not a separator of the student athlete. It makes it a lot harder on your coaches because 4:30 to 7:30 is often when their families are eating dinner and when their own families are playing their little rec leagues and things like that. It's also a great time to be recruiting in the evenings. And so it puts an enormous amount of, you're basically either coaching and at 4:30 to 7:30 or if it's a day off, you're recruiting. So it really makes your season a little bit longer, but I do think the connector of the student athletes is really empowering here.
One thing that you have to deal with is final exams in January, which throws the season to a complete halt, and that's changing in a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be interesting when it does, I think, and I think that you feel like the impact on athletic schedules, especially hockey and basketball, because the seasons are so long, is going to be minimal, but it's actually not. I think it's going to have a big impact on how you schedule and how you schedule your non-league games and what you try to accomplish, and then when finals fall and then when the league starts again. So, I mean, I think that, you know, we talk about practicing from 4:30, 7:30 window and then the academic calendar and how it impacts you, but have you thought about that at all, or is it still 2 years is too far away?
Yeah, the positive side of me looks at it like we can start Ivy League back-to-back play sooner, which will give, which you can play the Ivy tournament sooner, which allows the seeding to work out better for the NCAA tournament. It also gives you a week before, in between, because where the Ivy League tournament currently plays, I was questioning why our seed was so low last year. I questioned the committee, as only I can do. And the committee basically said, we split you and Penn's seed, and you know, the middle was what went. So Penn would have gotten a better seed than they deserved if they won, and you got a worse seed than you deserved, because the seeding's already done by the time our game is played. So same thing obviously happened on the men's side, right? So that's a real bummer when you're, you know, the seeding matters if you're looking to advance. So it allows for kind of more time on the front end to do all those things that other leagues can do. So they play a week earlier. But yeah, what's really hard is that everyone else's conference starts in early January. So I don't know how we're going to get games if we don't play the last 2 weeks of December now. It's hard to find games in January if you look at the rest of the league. They're playing, Penn's playing their big five.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a big, Penn's always had that benefit of putting their big five games.
Absolutely. No other school can do that. So they're playing, you know, you're hoping to get some other team off a bye week, but the better teams in our league are going to have a tough time for a team who's on a bye week of their Big Ten want to play you, right? So I don't know. I've got to sort of sort through that. I do our scheduling. I'm excited about next year's schedule that's completed, but man, for the following year, I've got to really think through that.
So before we can talk about your team, let's talk about this weekend coming up, the football game between Princeton and Dartmouth, 7-0 Princeton, 7-0 Dartmouth on Powers Field at Princeton Stadium. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. It's obviously a huge game. I know that I've been in this position a lot of times when Princeton and Penn have played, where it's Princeton against my alma mater. What about you and Dartmouth? And, you know, Dartmouth, I know you had a great experience there and you're coaching and all that kind of stuff, but you've been here long enough that you know, you're certainly a Princeton person. But what, what do you think of the, one, the game itself, and two, you know, the whole Princeton-Dartmouth thing?
I love it. I love that you asked, because I've been so warmly welcomed by the Princeton community that I feel like I'm one of them, you know, which is really great. You know, I think this game, I've gotten so many emails about it because I'm, you know, obviously the Dartmouth Club of Princeton. I'm on that mailing list, I think, or at least I get emails from them. And then, of course, a handful of the football alums have become good personal friends of mine, and they're coming in for the game from out of town and want me to stop by their tailgates and things like that. And
the Dartmouth people?
No, the Princeton people.
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, you have the relationship I have with the Princeton coaching staff at Princeton. So, you know, I have to say my colors turned pretty quickly. I hate to say that to the Dartmouth alums that might be listening. But
you must have. You must have Dartmouth football alum
big time.
Friends.
Oh, a lot of them. Yeah, that's the thing is that, you know, I'm scared to check my Facebook page because I do. I have a lot of really good friends that play football at Dartmouth and are thrilled about this, excited for the game. But I have to say, you know, I have no allegiances other than Princeton going, winning this one, and then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. So we're undefeated.
Other big games on campus this weekend, men's and women's soccer.
So many, yeah.
Field hockey, it's all big. It all impacts Ivy League championships, and it all impacts NCAA tournament probabilities.
Home. This is going to be a busy day. I mean, for you, holy moly, you might as well go to bed now and prepare. But for me, who gets to be a fan, literally every hour there's an important game going on within how many yards?
Field hockey and both soccers are playing Penn. Field hockey's at noon. Women's soccer.
And those are, what, 50 yards apart?
I mean.
And then football's another 500 yards apart. I mean, it's all right here. And, it's going to be so great.
The men's soccer game is at 4. The women's is at 7. The women, if they win, they will win a share of the championship and get the league's automatic bid. And if Penn wins or ties, they'll get the automatic bid to the tournament. And in men's soccer, there's still 2 weeks to go, but Princeton is alone in first place, but a lot of teams chasing them. So every game is big.
Wow.
So they're at the end of their seasons. Yeah. You're in the very, very, very infancy of yours.
Yeah.
So you've had some, you've had some teams that have been great. You've had some teams that have been very good. You've had some teams that have driven you nuts. You've had some teams, you've had way more good than bad. But at what point do you start to get a sense of what you have? Like, have there been years where you've thought, oh, my God, we're going to be unbelievable, and then it turns out that's not quite the case? Or are there years where you're watching practice and you think we're going to be terrible, we end up being good? Or plays out over the course of the season?
What a good question. I think, obviously, that 30-0 year with 2015, and I knew I had Blake, right? And as games went on and as practices went on in October, November, her relentlessness you knew was going to be helpful, and her speed. And then you had, of course, the Wheatleys and the Taractions and the Millers. And so I knew that team was going to be hard to beat because of how versatile and deep we were. You never really expect 30-0. And then I think of the team last year. I had no idea we'd be that good. And why we were that good is that senior class made sure of it. You know, I know, you know, the people that are real true fans, they don't really know much about Kenya or Tia. The inside knows how important that duo was for us. Everyone knows what Leslie meant to us. But Leslie was one of those great leaders. And then you have Tia and Kenya, who as seniors, they were going to put up with nothing but winning. And so I don't know if we were as talented as our record and our everything showed, but we had that intangible. So I think it depends. I kind of knew in the 30-0 year we'd be really good, and I think last year's group surprised me. I think the year that we were second in the league, what year was that, like maybe 2017, I knew we weren't great. I knew we didn't have quite the depth or the ability.
But do you know it at this point? Like, can you look at your team now and project it out? Or
depends a little bit on injuries. You know, I know that we've got a lot of young talent. And when I say young talent, I mean they're young and they're talented. And so it would be nice if we don't need multiple of them at the same time, you know, on the court at the same time. Like, think about last year. We had Carly on the court a lot, and then we were able to bring Abby along. So I know with Carly and Bella, we have two of the very best players in the league. And I think Sydney Jordan's one of the most rugged. So, I think the senior class have been really consistent. So I think we're a little bit with how many young guys we have a little bit dependent upon injury.
So yesterday I was talking to somebody and they asked me who the best player who's played at Princeton since you've been here is.
Oh, man.
And that's a tough question.
That is a really tough question.
And
we should put a poll out there.
I know, we should. And, I mean, because you've had some great ones, but you really have had, don't really like singling people out, but they're really a handful that rise above them all. And the one thing I was saying is that, like, so Bella now, when people watch Bella play and they have an understanding of just how good she is and, what her, what she brings. But I think as time moves along, do you think people forget how good Naveen Rashid was?
I don't think Naveen lets them. And I say that in all loving ways. She's going to be our Ivy Tournament legend this year. She came back for homecoming and
not forgets. Forgets is the wrong word, but do you think that, like, impactful. Because Bella is like so front so and center right now that people forget how good Naveen was?
You know, I hope not. She won 4 Ivy titles and I love it. Every time she comes back, I always at in front of the team, I always say, how many times did you win it? And I think the bigger debate is you look at someone like Blake Dietrich and you compare her to Naveen and, 30-0 versus 4 Ivy titles, and It's hard to compare those two things. So, yeah, you're right. We've had a lot of good players and a lot of really great players. And I think you picked out some of the ones that are certainly in that conversation.
Yeah, it's a tough question. I mean, and it's a good position to be in because, they're among the greatest women's basketball players the Ivy League's ever had.
Ever had. I mean, gosh. And I played in the Ivy League, and I don't put myself in that category. Yeah.
So
and then you have the most improved, right? You think about the people who've really developed. I mean, Leslie Robinson.
Annie Traction.
Julia Berger. Only coached her for 2 years. But maybe it was 3 years. I can't remember now. But people that have really grown. You have alums emailing you saying, I don't know why you play Leslie so much or why you play so-and-so so much. And then they're the saddest ones when they leave,
So, you've had enough practices under your belt now to sort of get a sense of where you are. Is there somebody who this year, you talked about most improved, is there somebody who has already leapt out at you and you're saying yes?
This is crazy. You know who our two most improved players are? Bella and Carly. I mean, it's crazy. Bella is a completely different player, and I'm so proud of her because the things that she had to get better in just take time. She wants to be great. She wants to be a pro. She wants to be a lottery pick. And then Carly, she knew that we were going to need more from her with Abby being gone for a year. And knowing that, I mean, she just, you should have seen her in our scrimmage. I mean, she's just, she's better. So those two in particular are better, and that's a little scary, I'm sure, for the league.
And so what about some of the people who haven't played a lot before, or some of the freshmen? I mean, you're going to have to get contributions.
Well, Taylor Bauer has been.
It's a lot of minutes to graduate.
A lot of minutes, yep. Taylor Bauer has been exceptional. We only really lost one starter, but obviously with Abby taking a year away, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow. But then you have someone like Taylor Bauer, who's a junior now, missed her first year with an ACL. But she just had some meniscus surgery, so she's been out for a couple weeks. But when she gets back, she's much improved. Sydney's just solid as can be. And then really the people that you're talking about are freshmen in everybody else's eyes, because we only have two juniors, Bella and Taylor Bauer, and then the three seniors, Rush and Sydney Jordan, and Kalea Ismail, we all know them from last year. And then everybody else is new. Two sophomores that didn't play, one was medically ineligible, and then six freshmen. So, again, there's a lot of talent, and I think people who watch will really like this team because they'll say, I can see the future.
Does that make it fun for you, though?
Sometimes. I mean, I think I see the holes, and I also see experience. Experience, as having known me, is such a big part of competitive athletics, especially in the Ivy League with the back-to-back play. And, we have got a lot of inexperienced guys. And so I think there will be an embarrassment of riches over time. But right now we're building that embarrassment, and we're not there yet.
So as you, and we've talked about this before, but as you sort of plan practices and plan how your team goes through it's preseason, how much of that can you, I was always fascinated by the whole Bill Walsh scripting the first 15 plays in football.
Right?
Like, how can you do that? Like, doesn't the situation come up and, I know you want to try to control as much as you control, but do you find yourself able to script, 15 days instead of 15 plays?
God, I'd be so amazing if I could plan, even just fall break. I've got kind of a 5-day period where I know on the macro scale, these are the things that have to be in before our first game, that we have to sort of be better at in this area, tweak this area, add in this area, understand in this area. So they're kind of in those four buckets maybe. But until practice just ended, now I can start to plan tomorrow's. So, no, I'm a very much of a day. I probably spend no less than 4 hours to plan practice, every single practice. 4 hours of every day is spent on just me alone planning practice. This is just how I've always been.
So this just dawns on me, but so the other podcast that I do are with the two lacrosse coaches, Chris Sale and Matt Matalon, and what they're in a situation is that you're not, which is they have all this fall practice with all the practice but no games to play. I mean, they scrimmage, but, like, you know, their season is in the spring, and then they have the gap in between, and then they come back in February 1st, they start practice again, and they start playing games. You've never been in that situation before. Would you like that? Like, it's obviously for a sport like yours, it doesn't have the, you know, the non-traditional, non-competitive season. But, like, if you had, like, you know, what they have, which is a huge fall piece that doesn't impact your one loss record.
No, we call those sports the practice sports. And that's that they practice far more than they play games. Right? Football, field hockey, I mean, they're technically, they're still year-round in college. It's just you can only maybe work with them 2 hours a week, and the other you can lift four hours a week. When my players are on campus, I'm thinking of them. So they'd be taking still my mental energy, but I wouldn't be able to work with them. I like I'm sort of built well for a season of like infancy to maturity. And that process is kind of part of that process is one of my whys, you know, it's an inspirational process for me. So no, I think the long season, I'd rather be just in it than in out, in out, in out.
So this is our second podcast of the season. The next one next week will actually be game week.
Game day. Opening day, November 6th.
That's right. That's
also
Tuesday.
Election day. There's a lot happening. Our podcast, election day, and game day. And the order of which is they're all equal.
Do you think we need to, so we're going to do these every Tuesday, but do you want to push that off to Wednesday so we can talk about the first game?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we do that. We'll be back next Wednesday. We'll talk about the game at Rider.
Opening game. Yes, that'll be fun. Okay.
So I forgot that's Tuesday.
Yeah. And then we'll be able to kind of I'll be able to give you a much more direct rundown of our people by that point too.
Okay. So we will be back next week. Well, maybe we should do it Tuesday.
Pre-game?
Yeah.
Well, how about this? TBD.
All right. Check next week. We'll figure out what's better. But we'll be back next week. But anyway, it's Princeton at Rider for opening day. And that's Tuesday the 6th. And a lot of the pieces will start to play out from that point. You know, the players who don't have the experience now will start to get it. And the experienced players may have some new roles to play. And, you know, interesting to see Carly Littlefield a year older and what, you know, because you forget she's just a sophomore.
Totally, yeah.
So a lot of interesting things.
You're going to hear her, which is exciting. I think you will actually hear her voice. That would be good.
I actually saw her before and I heard her voice because she said hello.
Whoa, and you were like, that's sophomore Carly.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. She's such a great worker and a great teammate, and now she's trying to emanate that to others. It's been fun.
Okay, so we'll be back next week, either before or after the game, with the next edition of the Court Report. Courtney Bankhart, thanks for being with us.
I'm so glad to be here.
And so for Courtney, I'm Jerry Price. I want to thank you for listening, as always. And once again, thank you for your support of Princeton Women's Basketball.